The Haynes Borough Manager delays the bid process for the small boat harbor expansion. And moose hunting season starts next week with a small change in regulations. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Borough Manager Bill Seward has decided to delay the bid process for the first phase of the Haynes Small Boat Harbor expansion. The Borough Assembly was going to view bids and possibly choose a contractor at a meeting at the end of September. But on Thursday, the Planning Commission recommended the manager extend the bid opening, partly because of the three appeals citizens filed over the harbor's borough land use permit. The land use permit allowing the harbor expansion on borough land was submitted by Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan and approved by Borough Manager Bill Seward. That approval has been complicated by three appeals submitted by residents Paul Nelson, Sue Waterhouse, and Deborah Schnabel. The appeals were not discussed at Thursday's planning meeting. A discussion item about the land use permit was on the agenda. That item turned into a more than three-hour debate about the Portage Cove Harbor expansion. Commission Chair Rob Goldberg said there are some pieces of the project that might still be open to public input.
It's almost like we're building a house, but the siding hasn't been decided on yet, and we're here to talk about, you know, what do we want to do?
Commissioner Heather Lendy asked if the discussion would be an exercise in futility. Despite many people's objections to the project and the process it went through, borough leaders have said it's too late to put the project on hold or significantly alter it. Here's Facilities Director Ryan.
We're pretty deep into it. You know, we're as I said, $2.7 million into it. It's a dangerous game to start playing to a major rewrite of the designs.
The room was full of citizens who wanted to say their piece on the harbor project. They voiced many of the same concerns that have come up time and again at past meetings. Does the waiting list for harbor slips warrant this size expansion? Is a steel wave barrier really the only financially feasible option? Why does the parking lot, uplands area, need to be 4 acres? And why is this project moving forward when there's only enough funding for phase one? At some points, the meeting devolved into a back and forth between citizens and borough staff who tried to answer their questions.
Well, even the rest
of the stuff is not paid for. Fred, it's not your turn to speak. You spoke. You have to come to me and be recognized before you can speak again. Brad has the floor. I will not let this meeting descend into chaos.
That was Goldberg speaking to Fred Einsbrook. Einsbrook objected to the cost of the project, its aesthetics, and more.
In conflict with the comprehensive plan. The community hates it. It's ugly. And what's most important is that these processes in Haynes yield these projects that we hate.
After listening to the emotionally charged discussion for 3 hours, Planning Commissioner Brenda Josephson said this.
I really think that at this point we should be stepping back.
Josephson touched on a sore point for the planners, the feeling that the Ports and Harbors Committee and Borough Assembly did not include them enough in the harbor planning process. She also balked at the suggestion that since the borough already spent about $3 million, there can't be any major changes to the project.
The best way I can describe it, any parent teaching their child, is you don't throw good money after bad.
Josephson suggested the commission ask the borough to delay the project's bid process for 30 days. Commissioners Lendy and Larry Giese said that would be prudent given the three appeals that have yet to be resolved. The motion to ask the borough manager or assembly to delay the bid opening for 30 days passed in a 5-1 vote, with Donnie Turner opposed. It didn't take long for Borough Manager Seward to act on the commission's advice. At the end of the meeting, he announced that he pushed the bid opening from September 21st to October 19th. That basically extends the deadline for companies to submit bids and delays the bid selection process by about a month. It means instead of the current assembly having the ability to choose a contractor at the end of this month, the new assembly, with two freshly elected members, will get to vote on bid selection. Facilities Director Ryan says, assuming the assembly approves a contractor, he doesn't anticipate the bid's delay actually impacting the timeline for completion of Phase 1. The Planning Commission is in for more harbor project discussion at its next meeting. On October 13th, planners will hear the three appeals filed over the project's land use permit. Moose hunting season starts around Haines in Game Management Unit 1D on September 15th. All the same rules and regulations as last year apply this season, but there's an addition to the mix. The change is aimed to help, not hinder, hunters. KHNS's Jillian Rogers has more.
If you've heard it once, you've heard it 100 times. 50 inches is 50 inches. That cardinal rule of the moose hunt, plus the spike fork and 3-brow tine regulations, are still in effect. But there is one change to the rules that state biologists say will be helpful.
First, let me say, if it was legal moose last year, it's a legal moose this year. That has not changed. That's the easiest way for me to say, don't get stressed about the change.
Carl Koch is the assistant area biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. He spoke to a handful of hunters at a meeting Thursday night in Haines about the upcoming hunt and the regulation change.
But there is a change in that on a forked animal, and I'll show you some examples soon, if there's a point within 2 inches of the base and it's less than 3 inches long, it will not count as a point. It will not make the forked animal illegal. And I'm going to show you some pictures of that.
What that means is if there's a small protuberance close to the moose's head, one that can easily be hidden by an ear, it doesn't count as a point if and only if it's 2 inches from the base of the antler and less than 3 inches long. This change only applies to forked antlered moose. So Koch says it helps hunters.
The reason that that came to be is because some people in Wrangell put a proposal through. They felt like those were really close to the head on these forked moose. Maybe you couldn't even see it behind the ear or something like that. You could walk up on a moose and it might be illegal. So this works as a benefit to the hunter.
The season starts on Thursday and runs through October 7th. That's the plan anyway. Last year, the season was closed a week early because 22 legal and 2 sublegal bulls were harvested, which is about the cutoff. Last year's aerial survey bull-to-cow ratio was 18 to 100. Koch says the department would like to see it at 25 per 100 cows. And until then, they'll be on the conservative side as far as the harvest goes.
It starts creeping up on 25. We're going to think about closing it. If the hunt goes the same exact way it did last year, probably the same thing will happen. If it were at 23 and it's toward the end of the season, we're going to make all the judgment in season on the fly, so to speak, as we gather data from the harvest. The other thing about the last two harvests were that the spike forks were very low, so it's an index of low recruitment.
Last season, the hunt went fast. 17 moose were harvested in the first week of the hunting period. Koch says 250 permits were issued, but only 187 were used. Overall, there was a 13% success rate, even with the early closure, which is about average. When biologists took to the air for the annual aerial survey in late December 2015, they counted 183 moose in the Chilkat Valley, up from 147 the year before. However, in 2014, the count was done in poor conditions and in the spring, so that might partially account for the lower total. Koch says even though the total count, including the number of calves, was higher in 2015, the department is still being cautious when it comes to the harvest. He says only 4 spike fork or younger moose were harvested last year and just 3 the season before.
And low calf count during the 2014 survey, we only had 8% of the total count was calves. And so again, we closed the season 1 week early. But just to reiterate, 24 moose were harvested, and the percent success rate was very similar to what it always is.
Of those 24, 2 were not legal, which is part of the reason for the hunter education meetings pre-season. But wildlife trooper Trent Chakowski says illegal moose shot in this area are usually dropped by accident.
No one around here is going to go out and try to poach an undersized moose. They simply make a mistake, and with that mistake, they have the ability to self-surrender or self-report, and we encourage that. Everyone can make a mistake, and so when they do that, the punishment is much less severe than had they tried to hide it.
Joukowsky says if someone shoots a sublegal moose and turns themselves in, the punishment is a citation and fine of up to $500. Both the trooper and the biologist reminded hunters that if they're in doubt, don't shoot. Along with last year's two sublegal moose, there were 4 spike fork, 12 three-brow tine, and 6 50-plus inch moose harvested. In Haines, I'm Jillian Rogers.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.